I don't feel worthy of those of these words, but thank you guys. It is always a joy to be with you. You are my brothers and sisters and co-laborers in Messiah. And I thank God for all of your what you do and your encouragement to me as well. It was 36 years ago that I first came here. I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me. I sat accidentally, I think, on the leaders table next to Paul Lieberman, and I'm still sitting next to Paul 36 years later, and he's still going strong. It is a joy. Now, what I'm about to share has happened more than once, even last year and before that. I came to the conference. I came here to the dinner last night, and I had no idea the theme of the conference. And I'm sitting way in the back, and I'm looking at the banner here with a theme and a scripture. I wasn't sure what I was seeing. I went up to see it. I didn't see it. I went out to get some cake instead, and I saw Joel Chernoff and Joel Lieberman. I said, "What's the theme in the scripture of the conference?" They said, "This, Revelation 12. But the thing is, I had finished my message the night before, and I knew for days before that what I was to share. I was led to open up the message tonight with a scripture unlike other scriptures I've opened up here. And I wondered about it. This is kind of different here. The scripture I was led by the Lord to open up was Revelation 12. I've never opened up a message here from Revelation. And I don't believe we've ever had that as the theme. And I believe this is the Lord. Revelation 12, what are the odds of that? This is really, I have no question. I said, "Lord, you're just amazing." God, he knows it, but you're just amazing. This is the fingerprint of God. It's a sign that it's not about us wanting to be here, which we do. It's not about having a good time. God ordained for us to be here. He ordained that scripture from the summer. I had no idea. And I believe this is from the Lord, and not only to you, but to me. I had absolutely no idea. There's no telling what you can do in the Lord if you have no idea what you're doing. I'm going to open up the larger scripture of the context of the scripture. That's what I plan. And it's not just that I'm opening up Revelation 12, but the entire message is based on Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon at her feet. On her head was a crown with 12 stars. And she was pregnant, and she cried out, being in labor and pain, to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns. On his head were 7 crowns. His tail swept a third of the stars of heaven and hurled them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male, who will rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God, to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness. She had a place prepared by God for her. She'd be nourished for 1,260 days. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But 2 wings of a great eagle were given to her, so she could fly into the wilderness to her place. She was nourished for a time, times and half a time, away from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent hurled water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away by the flood. I've been coming here since 1988. The first time I spoke here at night was 2012, and just before I came, we had the worst event in the history of Beth Israel. It was called Hurricane Irene. The hurricane came, flooded the street leading to Beth Israel, cut off our building, came then into the parking lot. The building became an island. The waters rose and rose and rose until they swept through our building. We had just finished the sanctuary, put in the carpet that week. It flooded our building with 4 feet of water. Every classroom, every meeting room, every office, every computer, our files, our records, our sanctuary was a lake. To get to the building, I had to take a boat. We were out of a building. We had no building for 2 months. And I came here right after that to speak for the first time. But the timing of the flood was significant. The flood came to the building at the very moment that the first book that I wrote was about to be released, which is called The Harbinger. The Harbinger came out first on ebook. That week, just before it came out, I told the congregation, pray, expect the enemy to attack with this, and be in prayer. And every time, even before that, every time something moved ahead with the message of the Harbinger, a flood came to our street, every time. But it never went into the building. But when the book was released, it swept into Beth Israel. But it didn't stop there. When my next book came out, it was the night of the release day. As the clock struck midnight and the release day began, I was virtually paralyzed. I could barely move or walk. I was struck with a strange infection that left me paralyzed. My wife, Renata, drove me to the hospital. On the release day of the book, I'm paralyzed in the hospital. For the first time in my life, I'm overnight in a hospital. Actually, I was there for days. So I had to cancel all the interviews there in the hospital. I didn't do any interviews for the book, but I found an amazing thing. God manages pretty well without me. I learned that. And now the release, giving you an example, of which I don't normally talk about. The release of another book, The Paradigm, was coming out, and we're a little on edge by now. I'm wondering, should I stay inside? Should I lock the door? Should I pull down the shades? What should I do? And all of a sudden, I'm inside, and it feels like I had just done 1,000 sit-ups. But I didn't. I never do 1,000 sit-ups. I never think about it. But it feels just like that. I go on the web, I type in the symptoms, I open up, and the site starts talking about your appendix bursting. I tell my wife, she thinks I'm being hypochondriac. She says, I don't know, I'm going to the hospital. I go to the hospital, they do test, my appendix burst. My appendix had been fine for years and years, but on the day of the release, it bursts. And I'm in the hospital again on the day. They rush me to surgery, I'm there for a week. Again, all the interviews are canceled. Again, God manages. It was after that my wife said to me, would you consider maybe not writing any more books? But it happened again and again and again. And let me just tell you what just happened. In the weeks leading up to here, I usually start writing the next book at the start of the year. I started here at the hotel. I started The Return of the Gods in my room. But I decided to get a head start. And I started working on what I thought was going to be the next book, which is the sequel to The Return of the Gods. But as I started, I get interrupted by the Lord. I am to write that book, but he interrupts me and leads me right now to write a different book. And this book deals specifically with the enemy. And the enemy as in Revelation 12, as in the dragon. I started writing it 2 weeks ago. Let me just tell you what happened in the last 2 weeks. I begin writing it at night. The next morning, I go to my computer, but something's wrong. There's no internet. The internet on our house was cut off. I got my cell phone to contact, but our cell phones were cut off. I go to our phone, our landline is cut off. Totally cut off. And I was supposed to do an interview, all gone. Comes back later. The next night, I work for the second time in the book. The next morning, everything is cut off again. They had no idea. I tell the congregation on Friday night, I said, we need to pray. But, you know, because this is happening, this is coming, and this is about this. I'm kind of pushing it a bit because this book is about this, but I tell them to pray. In the morning service, I prayed for a word. It was a special service where I just wait on the Lord. And the word I got was the vision of Ezekiel of the house of God and the streams of water. And how the river flows and gets larger and larger. And it's a good thing. It's about the life of God, the Spirit. I speak of the waters rising. I said that the river's got to flow in the house of God. I said the waters have to flow out to the parking lot. That night, the waters come to our congregation. It begins raining. The next day, the waters come to our street. It's a flood. It cuts off our building. We have to close down. It brings me back to the days of the Harbinger. And the flood comes from an actual river, which like the river in Ezekiel kept rising and rising and rising. And we're praying, go down, go down. The river fills up our parking lot. We're an island again. And now we're praying, Lord, don't let the water go into the building. The water rises to the building, rises up to the step. We say, Lord, it rises up to the next step, rises. And then when it's just about to come in, it stops. And then it goes down. For the most of the week, we could not get to the building because it was still cut off. But Friday night, it cleared for us to have the Friday night service. The next morning, the flood comes back. It's another flood, just like the flood that went down. It totally floods our street, cuts off everybody from our building. Nobody can get through. Same exact thing, except there was no rain, no storm, and no river. The same thing happened exactly, but it was had nothing behind it. It turned out that at the top of our road, we're at a dead-end road. We're the only pretty thing on it, pretty much. At the top of the road, there's a water main, and it decided to break. And suddenly, it flooded the entire street. It had nothing to do with a flood that just went down. There was no natural connection. But the Bible says the enemy comes in like a flood. Revelation says the dragon spewed forth a river to sweep away the woman. And this time, it wasn't New Jersey that was flooded or Wayne flooded. It all was just us. It was our street, and that was it. The enemy comes in like a flood. The dragon comes in. And at the same time, that's at the exact moment I'm working on the beginning of the book, and I'm writing about the dragon and the flood comes to us. Now, the Bible also says the enemy comes in like a thief. Well, the same night that the waters are coming, the flood is beginning to our building, the rains are coming, the same night, thieves break into our building. The same night, the flood is coming and the thieves come in. It turned out they were professional thieves. They specialized in robbing houses of worship. And on that day, they happened to choose Beth Israel. They come into our parking lot with a U-Haul truck. After we had cleared out, they waited for everybody to leave. They come looking for our safes and our funds. They break open a number of doors. And that night, we were supposed to have a cleaning crew come late at night. They come late at night. But one of them got sick, so she called a different cleaning crew, and they said, come down, and that crew decided to come a few hours early. They arrived at the building in the middle of the robbery. And they look into the building, and they see the thief. They see the main guy in through the window in the office. He sees them. He takes off. If the cleaning lady had not gotten sick, they would have come hours later, and the thieves would undoubtedly have gotten what they wanted. The last one to leave the building that night is one of my associate ministers. He's meticulous. He's always careful about everything. That night, he's running late, and for the first time in his history, he leaves a window open. He didn't pull down the blinds. The cleaning crew only saw the thief because he was at that one window that my associate did not close. And so that the only way, and they were in the exact spot. Had my associate not forgotten, we never would have seen that. They would never would have seen it. The cleaning people would have come in, and they would have been confronted by the thieves. It could have been life. It's written, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a banner. The enemy comes to rob and kill, but we have a good shepherd that protects us. Usually the attacks come when a book is released. In this case, I just started it. And the section was about the flood. And we're living in this Revelation 12, in a sense. And I just started the book. And there's much more in the book, so pray for me, because it just started. And that brings something else up. It was a Friday night at Beth Israel this autumn. I was led that night to share from the book you have that Steve gave you on your table, The Josiah Manifesto. It had just released. And I'm sharing one thing in particular. It's called The 50-Year Mystery. It's a mystery linked to the Jubilee, and I speak of events taking place 50 years from matching up, corresponding with what took place 50 years before. In the book, I bring up the mystery of the span of 1973 to 2023, but there was one more event according to that calendar and that mystery. That Friday night, I'm sharing of the 50-year mystery. It was the 50-year anniversary of a calamity in Israel's history. And going by that event, it would ordain that Israel would be attacked. It would be a ground invasion as it was 50 years ago with the Yom Kippur War. It would take the nation by surprise. It would happen on a Sabbath. It would happen on a Hebrew holy day. It would lead to war. It would take place on the first Saturday of October of 2023. That's what that mystery pointed to. The next morning it happened. Those of Beth Israel who were there the night before remembered what we shared. And it was the worst day in Jewish history since the Holocaust. Aside from the numbers were the atrocities. The atrocities committed against mothers, fathers, children, babies. Not merely political. It wasn't just military. It wasn't natural. It was abnormal. What happened on October 7th was demonic, was satanic. What happened on October 7th goes back to Revelation. The dragon is clearly the enemy. The text says it. Who's the woman? The Catholic Church has long said it was Mary. Others in the church says it was the church. The woman does give birth to the child who's Messiah, but the woman is alive at the end of the age, so it can't be Mary. As far as the church did not give birth to the Messiah. The church was born of Messiah. So who gave birth to Messiah and is alive at the end of the age? Only Israel. The woman is Israel. And further, she's clothed with the sun and the moon and the stars, which goes back to the picture of Israel in Joseph's dream, the 12 stars. It's the symbol of Israel. What is it saying? There is a war waged in this world that is not natural, it is supernatural. It is waged from the spiritual realm. It affects the natural realm. It's waged by a spiritual force, an enemy, against the Jewish people. In this vision of Revelation, yet it starts at the beginning of the age, it goes to the end of the age, but it explains what is happening and why it's happening. Why the world hates the Jewish people. It is called the oldest of hatreds. It spans the ages from ancient world, medieval world, modern world. It is the most universal hatred in history, existing in almost every part of the earth. In every sector of the realm of politics, ideology, the phenomenon is not natural, and yet it is at work in our world. It has determined history. It is birthed by a fallen, darkened angel with very deadly, real ramifications. From the pogroms of Russia to the gas chambers of Auschwitz to the tunnels of Hamas in Gaza, to what took place on October 7th. It wasn't just Hamas. It wasn't just Hamas that was rejoicing. What was just as stunning, and I'm sure to you and many Jewish people, is what happened all over the world, the Arab world, to Europe, to America, even New York. The world erupted in anti-Jewish hatred. The most elite universities of America erupted in mass demonstration of anti-Jewish hatred. Jewish people were shocked to see it. The hatred now coming from the left, from the woke. Chapters of BLM cheering on the terrorists of Hamas who massacred Jewish families. Hollywood, silent. Me Too movement, silent. Having nothing to say about the most brutal raping and mutilating of Jewish women. The United Nations Commission of Human Rights, they did issue a condemnation, not of Hamas, but of Israel. And the appearance of swastikas again, chants of gas the Jews, stars of David painted outside Jewish doors as in the days of the Nazis, and a poll that revealed that about a majority of young Americans, the future generation, do not side with Israel, they side with Hamas. And they believe that what Hamas did was justified. It never dies. It only changes form. It's a virus. I'm alive by a miracle, the fact that my father escaped Hitler, but here it is another generation, and here it is again. What happened on October 7th bore witness to what the Bible says. One, that God is real, that the Jewish people are different, as is the nation of Israel, because God is real. And the one known as Satan, the devil, the dragon, is also real and deadly real. What does this have to do with you, with us? What does this vision of Revelation have to do with us? Everything. Number one, because this movement is connected to the Jewish people, number one. Many of us are Jewish. All of us are connected to the Jewish people and to Jewish existence, and the enemy is set on wiping out Jewish existence. Number two, we are connected to Messiah, and Messiah is the antithesis of the enemy. The epitome of Jewish existence and the embodiment of God's purposes, which the enemy seeks to wipe out. Number three, we are connected both to the Jewish people and to Messiah, and being a bridge between them with a mission to break down the barrier. And when the two come together, the purposes of God are fulfilled, which is the focus of the enemy's fury, and he is finished when that happens. Thus, you are a triple threat to the enemy. If the dragon wars against the woman, he certainly wars against you, against this movement. To him, it's as if we declared war. There is a war against us. There's a war against you. There's a war against me. It is as real as the war against Jewish existence, as serious as that. It even says in Revelation, in that scripture, which is the theme of the conference, and the dragon was enraged with a woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Yeshua. Who's that? If the woman is Israel, who are the rest of her children? Who also keep the commandments and hold the testimony of Yeshua? One can argue it could be her spiritual children, but it is certainly got to be you. It's got to be us. It says he was enraged against them. He's enraged against you. He went off to make war against them. He's made war against you. There it is. As real as this war is against the Jewish people in this planet, there is a war against us. And if we don't realize that, we are at a disadvantage because we're at war. This year at the Messiah Conference, last year, I mentioned what happened on the mountaintop when I came to the Lord. I mentioned that when I looked out, it turned out the site where I was saved, the ground bore the name of an ancient god. But what I didn't say this year is that site not only bore the name of an ancient god, it was dedicated to Satan the dragon, where they actually worshiped him. I had no idea. Which gives special meaning to the words that I saw written on the rocks that said, no Jew shall enter these sacred grounds. That was like Satan talking. Because for me, those grounds were the grounds where I came to Messiah. But Satan has been trying to keep that from happening to all of us and the Jewish people since the beginning. I shared some of the things that I experience, and whenever I go forward in the Lord or when I deal with this stuff, and you might say, well, okay, that's you, Jonathan. I haven't been attacked like that. I haven't witnessed those things. I haven't had that. I haven't had that happen on a release of a book. I haven't even written a book. But I have no doubt that you have experienced it. The Bible says he went off to make war. Maybe the attacks that I've shared are dramatic, but they expose the strategy of the enemy who's waging war against you and against your ministry. Years before the Harbinger came out, when this download first came to me, all hell broke loose, not in a flood and not with thieves, but in the congregation. We never experienced anything like it, divisions and factions as we had never experienced. I'm sure you've experienced that. And in the midst of those attacks, the company that we were renting from says, for 15 years, said, your building's gone. You don't have a building anymore because we got to destroy it. We had no place to go. It looked like the ministry was going to be destroyed just as the Harbinger thing was coming. Well, what they did is they did destroy the building. They couldn't destroy us, but they destroyed the building. And in place of the building, they built a Walmart. And on the shelves of that Walmart, they're selling copies of the Harbinger. So they're selling copies of the Harbinger on the same ground where I first gave the message of the Harbinger. God always gets the last word. You have been the target of the enemy's attack. Some of you have been dealing with waves of unrest, factions, divisions, conflict. Some of you have been struggling with your town, with building issues, town issues. Some of you with health issues, hindrances, frustrated plans, opposition, roadblocks, keeping things down. The dragon is warring against you, against your calling and against your ministry. It's an ancient war. It is not natural. But it's not a bad sign. No, it is not a bad sign. It's just the opposite. It's a good sign. The dragon attacks the woman because the woman is a chosen vessel of God to bring forth the purposes of God in the world. The enemy is not stupid. He doesn't waste his time or his energy or his weapons. He attacks the things of God, the works of God, the vessels of God, the plans and purposes of God. Why does he especially attack us? Because we in this movement are here by the hand of God. We are especially linked to his prophetic purposes. What God has planned to bring into the world. So the enemy has a special war against your calling, against my calling, against your ministry, against this movement. That's a sign. It's a sign of the high calling you have. It's a sign that you are especially chosen for this day. It is a sign that God has something very prophetic and big ahead. See, every attack I dealt with was followed by a great breakthrough, a great raising up. Every attack was a sign and a giveaway from the enemy that God had something great ahead of us, every single one. And the greatness of the attack that you deal with is a sign that God has something great ahead. Remember that, my brothers and sisters. When hell is breaking out against you, remember it's because heaven is going to break out. Don't get discouraged with the battle. Get encouraged. It's a sign of something great if you keep going. God called us. He called me. He called you to be victorious. We can't be victorious without a fight. The nation of Israel was called into existence to destroy the works of the devil as Messiah is. We are of both Messiah and Israel. The enemy knows what is ahead. He's been doing everything in his power to keep us from becoming what God has. In the past few weeks, I've been led to say several times, I believe this year coming will be dramatic and a year of warfare. And that brings me to one of the most important words I can give you and this movement. We know we're connected to Israel. The rebirth of Israel is the physical return. We are the spiritual return. It's no accident that each happened parallel to the other. When the movement to come back to Israel began in the 19th century, so did the Messianic movement, the first part of it. When the return to Jerusalem came in the 1960s, so did the modern Messianic revival. It's a parallel. They were pioneers. We are pioneers. Israel was the revival of what was 2,000 years ago. We are the revival of what was 2,000 years ago. They were builders, rebuilding what had not been. We are builders the same way. But there's something that they were, or rather they became, that we have to fully become. And that is, they became fighters. They became fighters. For 2,000 years, the Jewish people were not known to be fighters. You know, Jackie Mason used to say, you know, every Jewish person has an almost fight story. He said, if they said almost one more word, I would have done it. But nobody knows what the word is. But for 2,000 years, we weren't known as fighters. And we were oppressed and beaten down. But when Israel came back to the land, they realized that if they didn't become fighters, they wouldn't survive. Because there's a war against them. If they didn't become fighters, they wouldn't get the land or keep the land. It's the same thing that separated the Joshua generation from the generation that died in the wilderness. The Joshua generation were fighters. They took the land. The Israelis are fighters. The children of Israel had to become soldiers to take the promises of God. There is a war right now in Israel because the enemy is trying to remove them from the land. They had to become fighters and they had to fight. If they didn't learn how to do that and learn how to do it well, Israel would never be what it is today. Is it possible that we as a movement and individually have not yet become all that we are to become because we haven't yet fully become the fighters we are to be in God? Is it possible we're dealing with things we shouldn't still be dealing with, bogged down and besieged? The enemy's hindering us, preventing us, keeping us down so that we will not become as powerful as God has called us to be because we have not yet become the fighters of God in the spirit that we have been called to be. Messiah said, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Is it possible, brethren, that our brethren who don't know Messiah yet are wiser in waging war in this realm than we are in waging war in the spiritual realm? We are in a war, no less than Israel. We have an enemy. It's not wise to be in a war and not know you're in a war or not act like you are. The enemy tried through Hamas to intimidate them, remove them from their calling. The enemy, that reveals something about the enemy's strategy. He's seeking to remove us from our calling, warring against us and you to hinder you, intimidate you, just as he tried with Hamas. The Israelis returned. We have returned in the spirit. They have been pioneers. We have been pioneers in the spirit. They have been rebuilders. We have been rebuilders in the spirit. We must now become the fighters of God, the fighters of the spirit that God called us to be. In ancient times, the Jewish people were warriors. But in 2,000 years, they lost that. They didn't have a land to fight for. But when they returned, they excelled so much. We too, at the beginning of the age, Messianic Jewish leaders, 2,000 years ago, Messianic Jewish rabbis, Messianic Jewish disciples and apostles, they were fighters. They fought in the spirit, warriors, powerful. They changed the history of the world. But now we're back. The world hasn't seen that a lot. But now we're back. We are to do in the spirit what they did. As Israel excelled in fighting, we are to excel in becoming spiritual warriors for God. The greatness of the call of Israel required a great army to rise up and match that. Well, the greatness of our calling means we have to become a great army. And if we're going to be a great army, we cannot be a divided army. We have to be a united army. The dragon warred against her offspring. We're in a war, whether we like it or not. It's an end-time war against Israel's existence. It's an end-time war that wars against us. You know, it's, the Bible says in the last days there'll be a great apostasy. We see it every day. Israel will be back. We see that. There'll be a great apostasy. We see that. You know what the apostasy is? The world is warring against the very things that we, the Messianic believers, brought to the world through Messiah. We are born and called and saved for this hour to fight this war. The first Messianic believers, fighters. One who fights is the one who says, no, I don't accept that, or I don't accept that anymore. Gideon and the Israelites lived in fear and hiding and oppression until Gideon said, yes, God, and no to the enemy. Saying, no, I will not accept this harassment anymore. No, I will not be hindered anymore. The enemy wants to keep this down. You know, we have to say, no, I will fight this now. The first Jewish disciples, they fought against the kingdom of darkness, led in the spirit. In the last days, we should be leading in the spirit. They took strongholds down. They warred against the domain of the enemy. In the end times, we need to be the same people. The first Jewish apostles did not live in retreat. They advanced. They were offensive. We must become the same. They weren't afraid of the world. The world was afraid of them. They overcame the world. They overcame. We have to do the same. What is the scripture that was chosen for this conference before all these things? They overcame him. Who's the him? The dragon is the him. The enemy is the him. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I'm not sure if this was on the original banner. It kind of cuts off there, but it says, and loving not their lives to death. In other words, going all out for God no matter what. The Israelis have become the most powerful fighters in the world. We have to become the most powerful fighters in the spirit. The Israelis had to become serious about it. We have to become serious about it. The Israelis disciplined themselves. They had to set their mind and heart on fighting the fight. We have to do the same thing. The Israelis had to train themselves. We have to train ourselves too. In the spirit, in faith, in the word, in prayer, in righteousness, in holiness. The Israelis don't fear their enemies. They're bold. We have to not fear the enemy. We got to be bold. What happened this autumn, you can take it as a sign that it's time for war. Israel cannot coexist with darkness, neither can we. Even in our camp, even in our life or our ministry, we cannot exist with it anymore because it wants to destroy us. They have determined we're going to rid this evil out of the land. We have to do that spiritually. Drive the enemy out. As the army of Israel to the world, we have to be to the kingdom of God. We must become the IDF of the Spirit. You get that? The IDF of the Spirit. We're parallel. When the Jewish people took up the calling to become fighters, there was an anointing that came on them, a power to fight because they were called to. If we rise to this calling and set our heart and mind on it, there will be an anointing that will come on us that we have not known. There will be a power that comes on us that we have not seen. There is no telling what will happen. The victories, the power, the people who will be saved, the ground we will take. The enemy will not hinder us if we stand with God. If we fight, we will win. If you fight and keep fighting, you will win. The dragon has said, I will war against you. Messianic movement. I will war against you, Messianic rabbi, Messianic wife of the rabbi. I will harass you. I will intimidate you. I will besiege you. I will bog you down. I will entangle you. I will compromise you. I will rob you. I will send my floods against you. I will keep you from your calling and the promise and your inheritance. And we have to say now, no. No, you won't. Not anymore. You will not prevail. I do not accept it. I will stand against it. I will fight you. I will war against your works. I will fight against your plans. I will fight against your attack. I will fight against your temptation. I will fight against the fear. I will fight against the discouragement. I will fight against your schemes, against my life and my calling, my home and my family and my world. I will not be intimidated, but by the power of God, I will not lose. In the name of the Messiah and the power of the Almighty, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No curse will land upon me. No scheme devised against me will succeed. No evil arrayed against me will prevail. For I have been called more than a conqueror. And I will now take up the full armor of God. I will put on the breastplate of righteousness. I will lift up my shield of faith. I will wield my sword of the Spirit. And having done all, I will stand and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I will rise. I will overcome. I will prevail. I will fulfill my calling. Mighty people of God, you are called for this hour. Take up your armor, rise and stand, be strong and have good courage, and everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread, it shall be given to you. Fight the devil, slay your dragon, and by the name of Messiah, the power of the Almighty, you shall prevail. Amen.